man, it's going down. This is Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a very special guest today. When we talk about, you know what I'm saying, people who've been in the H, man, spitting for a while, really putting it down. We talk about today's guest, man, and not just for the H, you know what I'm saying, but especially for the Hispanic MCs. And not just for the Hispanic MCs, but for the ones that's really spitting, man, really putting it down and really going hard on that mic, man. So today's guest is none other than GT Garza. What's going down, man?
Man, I appreciate that, Donnie. That's love, man.
Already, man.
It's good to be here, man. Good to see you.
Chilling, man. It's good to see you, bro. What's new, man?
Man, just working, man, working. We put this label together, La Máquina. You know, it's been a crazy year. 2020 been crazy, dog. Been super hectic. We just signed on this new artist, Crystal Poppin'. She's super dope. I put out an album called The Illest 2, and me and two other artists that I got with me named Coast and Buns, we dropping the last installment to a mixtape that's real big for me called Brown Bar on the 3.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We just trying to keep it consistent, keep it moving.
Yeah, it's a whole lot going on, man.
Man, it gotta be.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But man, just talk about it, man, because like I was saying, you've been doing it for a while, you know what I mean? I know I probably got on maybe around 2010, somewhere up in there, 11, yeah. Somewhere up in there. But even before that, though, you know what I mean? I know, you know, was it like the battle scene or something, how you kind of first got on?
Yeah. I want to say like when I was a sophomore in about 2002, I really started picking up rhyming and started like trying to battle and you know, go to different showcases and open mics and just show people, I guess, my skills or what I thought was skills.
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, you either was going to open mics, because there was a lot of open mics back then. Or you was like, you know, trapping and making your money that way and pressing up your mixtapes. So I ended up battling at this car show, and it was the first time I ever battled, and I won a set of rims. And I was only like 15, 16, and I didn't have a car. So I was like, well, I don't know what to do with this set of rims, you know what I'm saying? So one of the judges was like, man, I'll buy them from you for $1,000 right now. And we talking about like 20... inch rims in like 2002. So they was like a hot commodity. So I was like $1,000, like, what? That's my school clothes, come on with it. So man, I sold it to him. He gave me the band, and I was like, you know what, I could probably buy the rest of my school clothes with just doing this. And that's what I did. And then, you know, slowly from there, I just entered different competitions, and it just started to grow.
But what even prompted you to even get into the battling? Like, what are you listening to music and being influenced by that? Was it like a bet or something? Like, what even just had you just say, all right, you know what, I'm gonna go and do a battle. Like, that's how I'm gonna do
it. That took a lot, but man, I was growing up off of Farnsworth in the West Airport, and I was going to Welsh Middle School. I was zoned to Westbury, but I ended up going to Westside because they just so happened to come and like drop something in my ear that year, and I was like, man, I'm gonna go hit up this new school and see what they talking about.
Yeah.
And you know, I was introduced to Lil Kiki and Bone Thugs by my homeboy DJ, and through that, I ended up jamming a lot of rap and hip hop, and you know, it just made me a fan. So I had a friend named Leonard Carter who went to Lamar High School, and I used to see them boys rap all the time, you know what I'm saying, and just battle folks and, you know, just do stuff that I was like, man, one of these days I'm gonna do that same thing. And you know, a couple years down the road, you know, Leonard Carter, he was my homeboy, he passed away on the football field. And he was one of the persons that I first seen rhyming in person, like in face to face, like shut somebody down. And I was like, yo, I want to do what he doing. So,
and this is at school that he did this?
Yeah. So he spent his first year at Westside, and then he went over to Lamar as a sophomore. And every day I would go home off the school bus, I'd walk and just rap to myself and be like, you know, try to just make something up. And then once I built enough courage, there's a place off in the southeast that they used to have called the YA. And it was off of like Lombardi and like 45 and Telephone area. And you can go to this facility, and man, they had break dancers, they had skateboarders, you can get your hair cut there. Like, it was really like an after school program for kids to just stay out the streets. And they had a DJ there by the name of Joe B. And he was like always opening the mic and freestyling. He was like, anybody want to come up and freestyle? Y'all freestyle. And I never went. I go every Thursday and never stood up. And then one Thursday, I was like, man, I'm just going to stand up and do it. And I went up there, I freestyled, and the reaction I got was like, man, I really like this. I want to do this for real. So, you know, it just, over time, it just helped me develop my style and just gave me a self-confidence of, man, I could really make something out of this. You know what I'm saying? So I just kept pushing and kept going. And, you know, I did little battles here. I did one outside of Charlestown Mall. That was with a Foot Action and Adidas. I won that, and then that took me to the Apollo Theater in Harlem, and I battled over there.
Oh, shit.
And I came back, and then, you know, I just felt like battling was cool for me. And I wanted to get deeper into music and learn the business and the industry, so, you know, it took me time to get into that transition. So that's where we at now.
Okay, so when do you first make, you know, first get into, like, dropping, I guess, like, first, not necessarily songs, but first, like, project or whatever?
I didn't drop my first project till, like, 2006. So that was, like, about 4 years after I first got into rhyming and battling. And, you know, I started doing freestyles at my partner Money Mike house. We were just making mixtapes, pumping out just, we were freestyling over all type of just random, you know, Napster beats and, you know, anything you could download, we was on it. And it was just fun at the time. We weren't thinking no business. We weren't thinking iTunes. We weren't thinking nothing. We were just trying to rap and just show it to our partners. And at some point it became like, man, do I just want to do this as a hobby, or do I really want to take this serious and see what I can really do with it? So I put out my first mixtape. It was called Maverick Music One. And, you know, I liked it. It was cool. And I ain't think nothing of it. But I met this dude, man, and I don't even know his name, but he was telling me about YouTube. And he was like, yo, bro, you can create a channel on this thing called YouTube, and if you put a video up on you rapping, everybody can see it. And I was like, what? And I was like, all right, well, what do I need to do? He's like, come over to my crib. We're going to wrap this in a closet that looked like a studio, and you just spit like a long verse that you got over a beat. And at that time, I had rapped over this Lil Wayne, the best rapper alive beat.
Okay, yeah.
And it went up on YouTube, and it was a song, or it was a freestyle that we put up called 52 Pickup. And I had memorized the whole flow. Like, bro, I probably had that flow in my brain for the longest time. You know what I'm saying? But never could just get it out or show nobody. And once I put it online, man, it started running, and the numbers was moving. But I could never get a hold of this dude again. Like, he had my password, he had everything. And I didn't even know what it meant. I didn't know what YouTube was or where it was gonna be now. So years went by and that freestyle was online. And I never even thought like it was growing numbers or doing nothing. And then one time somebody was like, yo, man, you got this song on YouTube, bro. It's called 52 Pickup. And I was like, yeah. He's like, man, already, bro, we be jamming that. And I was like, what? So I was like, okay, well, what is YouTube? You know what I'm saying? And that's how I started being like, okay, this could be an outlet for me to get my music further. And then, you know, slowly started growing and just learning more about the business and just pumping out mixtapes and putting them on DatPiff, you know, just doing the basic things that an independent artist should do.
So, okay, when do you first start, like, picking up, like, some traction and everything like that?
Man, from 2006 to about 2010, man, I pumped out a lot of mixtapes, a lot. I was really heavy in the streets. I still battled a little bit, but for the most part, I was just doing underground circuits, underground open mics, shows. My brother Rob G, who we do business right now with Lamaki and I, he had a big song called Reppin' My Block.
Yeah.
So at the time, I was moving with him.
Okay, so I think my boy T. Gray might have been over there.
T. Gray was over there. Yeah. So me and T. Gray go back, and Rob G, and we all family till this day. You know what I mean? But at the time, that's who I was rhyming with. And we would put out mixtapes, and, you know, I was a part of his camp. And, you know, anything he was doing, I was with. So from, like, 2006 to 2010, I was rocking with Rob G. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he just had everything that I wanted to do, and he knew how to get there. So I was just studying, learning, and trying to give them my all. You know what I'm saying? You need a dope rapper? I'm here. So, you know, we was doing that over time. And then I think he had went down to, like, Corpus to start working on Spanish music. And at that time, I was really heavy into hip-hop. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and keep doing hip-hop and let him run with the Spanish music, and, you know, we just gonna do our things, you know what I'm saying? So we always had love for each other, but musically, we just had two different ideas at the time, which today pans out to be the best idea ever.
Yeah.
But at the time, I didn't know it. You know, I'm young, thinking I just knew everything. I ain't no shit, you know what I'm saying? So you know, I went back to square one. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I'm going to just go back to Houston, make some music, and see what happens. You know what I'm saying? And then around 2011, 2012, we ended up really putting some things together. We started a record label, The Machine, which we call La Machina right now. You know, it's the same thing, you know, from English to Spanish. And then we started moving. And then from like 2013 to 2017, I dropped big mixtapes. I put out a mixtape with Don Cannon called Batteries Not Included 2.
How'd you end up making that connection?
Through Trey. My homeboy Young Keese, man, I grew up from the Sandbox. That's like my brother. He knew that Trey had like a lot of industry plugs, and you know, Trey seen us out grinding, and you know, he threw me the alley-oop, you know what I'm saying? So I always salute him for that. And we got the tape hosted, you know, I shot a couple videos with it, got some features from Ro, and it was like one of the biggest things that I had ever did at the time. So it was like one of the best feelings ever. And just over that, you know, we wanted to keep pushing and go further. So we started making merchandise, you know, just building a company and getting a label together and what it really should be. And then ever since then, it's just been growing.
What do you, man, talk about just, you know, representing for the Hispanic community, man, and just the importance of that, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, here in H-Town, in Texas especially, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a big representation for here. I mean, it's a big audience for that, you know what I'm saying?
For sure. I mean, I just want to give the people, you know, where I come from, and, you know, in a respectable manner. Whether you're an old head or a young head, or, you know, you just getting into hip hop, or, you know, maybe you don't got no color variation of what you're trying to listen to. You just like music. I just want to give you the best shit possible. You know what I mean? And just represent it the right way. Me being Mexicano, I definitely want to put on for my culture, for my people, and let them know that they got one. You know what I'm saying? And I'm always going to be here to represent them the right way.
You ever receive any, like, drawback, you know what I'm saying? And people being like, oh, man, you know what I'm saying? Anybody not necessarily want to give you an opportunity or chance?
I wouldn't say
like that.
I would say, you know, in the industry, there's certain times where maybe certain people are looking for certain things. And maybe that's just not my cup of tea. Maybe it's not their cup of tea. So that don't mean stop cooking. That don't mean stop working. That just means keep looking, keep grinding. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to lie. I used to think that one saying about it only take one person to heed to change your life. You know, I used to think that was bullshit after a while. But it ain't. You know what I'm saying? Because I just seen it in front of me happen just this year with Crystal Poppin'. It took one person to hear her and boom, believed everything that I believed. You know what I'm saying? And I knew she had what it take. You know what I'm saying? And she's doing great right now.
For sure.
So, you know, it'll come when it'll come.
Have you been influenced by any other ones around here? Maybe like the SPMs, you got your Baby Bashes and
always,
you know, different ones that came before you, you know what I'm saying?
That boy Baby Bash, probably one of the coolest guys I ever met.
For sure.
Like, bro, he took me out, had me smoking with fucking Be Real, bro.
Oh, no shit.
Like, that's a bucket list check.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean? Like, to smoke with Bash and Be Real? Like, I'm cool. Like, I could hit a blunt with anybody. I'm straight. You know what I mean? So just him being that cool, just to let me even in the room, just to soak up game, and, you know, he went platinum, bro. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never been platinum. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to listen to the game he got to give. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that's been to the mountaintop and then came back down, I want to hear what they got to say about what's going on up there. Because I know when I get there, I'm going to need it.
For sure.
So I always listen and show respect to those that came before me.
Do you have a favorite?
MC? I got a lot of favorite MCs.
Okay, well, let's just talk rap then. We can talk some rap shit. Top five MCs. And you know, it's so many, because if you really into this shit, then it's like different. You got different top fives.
I'll tell you
saying?
Like this. My favorite Southern MC is going to be Fat Pat time. And the reason I picked Fat Pat, because Fat Pat was making songs when everybody was freestyling, in my opinion.
He's going to give you the hook and the whole nine.
That boy was giving you the hook, the verse, pulling out hits. I'm talking about hits. And he was flipping them on songs that you all had already knew back in the day, and they doing that today. They taking songs, R&B songs we know from the early 90s and the 80s, and just flipping them. And he was doing that back in the gap. So it's people like him that, you know, that's one of my favorite, Pimp one of my favorites, Slim one of my favorites, just based off of, I grew up jamming him in high school and being able to be on records with him now and all the game he taught me. Man, I can go on for days, bro. But like, Southern culture is definitely like, got a lot of my favorite MCs.
Who would you say have been the most influential as far as for you and your style and like, you know,
in my style?
And just, or just the way you just approach music, you know what I'm saying, in general?
I would say Slim. The reason why is
out of all artists or just Southern?
Just, I would just say, because that's the actual person I had contact with. That's somebody I've actually had conversations with that put me up on game. You know what I'm saying? And I've said this in different interviews where he done took me around in the back of a Bentley or a Mustang when I ain't had shit. And he was out there slanging T-shirts out the back of that hoe. You know what I'm saying? Pulling up to the barbershop, to Greens Point, wherever. And that was just letting me know, like, it don't matter if you got $1 million or no dollars, you need to be out here working. So that to me, besides music, is priceless. You know what I'm saying? You putting up, you putting somebody on game that you don't have to put game. You don't got to give them nothing. So I take that and I don't even got words for that. You know what I mean? Like, shit, that's crazy love.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's just certain things about different rappers or MCs or just street dudes I know that I respect for different things that they done for us to help along the journey. And that's what I appreciate. You know what I mean? Somebody that's not gonna withhold information. You know what I'm saying? Cause I was that person coming up, and I'm still coming up. But now that I got a little bit more information, I can give it to somebody. You know what I'm saying? And that can help them cut corners and save time, save money, and save headaches. You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't I want to give somebody that game? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, ask me a question.
Yeah, for sure. What, man, because, I mean, like you said, you know what I'm saying? You've been in it for a while, and you're still in it. So, you know what I'm saying? You've been doing it. You're still doing it. You're going to continue to do it. You know what I'm saying? What is the... what's like the overall goal for you? When would you say, man, like, this is my image of success? So this is when I can say, you know what I'm saying, all right, I've done what I needed to do, I'm good.
I can't really tell you, because whether it's me being an MC or going to the executive side and doing that side, I don't know when I'll stop music. It's just in my heart. It's just something I'm very passionate about, and it's just what I do. Like, I can hoop, but I'm not great at it. I know I'm great at doing music. I know it's what I wake up and want to do every day without second guessing. So I don't really know a time limit or when it's going to stop. And in my opinion, I believe everybody's level of success is different. It's all about where you put it.
Right.
And how far you want to go with it.
Right.
And then once you feel like you done and you hit that ceiling, chunk deuce. But until then, man,
so keep going.
Grind that shit out. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I might be 2 Chainz of Ross and get my best song in the 40s and 30s. And when I'm 40 and 43, 45, still putting out classics. I don't think there's a time limit on rappers or MCs no more. It just, when you feel like you done, you done.
Yeah. Like you were saying, you were getting that game, man. What was something you would say to somebody who wants to get into the music game, man?
Treat it like a business. Try to understand fully what you're getting yourself into. Ask as many questions as you can. There's no dumb question. Network. Networking is key. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know. That's all I got for right now. I could say a lot, but those are some key things. And grind, stay consistent. Don't ever let up. Stay on their neck, man, all the time. 25-8, for sure.
You're doing a lot of songs with a lot of people. Do you have a dream collaboration? Like, man, if I could just do a record with these people.
Producers.
It's on the producer side.
Producer side.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Man, there's so many producers I wish that I could just work with.
Hmm.
I remember, like, even me just getting a beat from Mr. Lee, bro, that was a bucket list.
Because
I grew up jamming Mr. Lee bangers in Texas, anthems. And he gave me a banger. And I was just like, man. So it definitely be producers, for sure.
I mean, which ones? Which one?
Man, it Pharrell, everybody, any every rapper's dream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Tons, bro. The Alchemist. Like, I got all type. I like DJ Khalil. Mm. A lot of producers, bro. The obvious, you know what I'm saying? You could say Dr. Dre, Pharrell's and all those, but yeah. It's a certain few that I would really like to work with for sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. Well, shit, you got anything else, man, before we get up out of here, man?
Man, dog. Lamaki not coming soon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 2021. Y'all make sure and check out Crystal Poppin'. She got a new single out right now called Hello. Make sure and check that out. Brown Bar and the 3, the Trinity dropping with me, Buns, and Coast. Y'all make sure to check that out. That's coming out real soon. Shout out to my dog, Rob G, Money Mike, the whole crew, The Machina Empire. We live in your deck. Donnie Houston, I appreciate you, man. This is love. And shout out to the H, man, to the city. All my Latinos out there repping, man. Y'all stay up, stay repping. You know, I salute y'all.
That's what it is, man. Well, hey, it's the Donnie Houston Podcast, man. GT Garza. We out.